Lights, camera, action.
And the winner is...
Welcome to the Oscar Reel Movie Podcast, where we talk and discuss movies, sometimes comic books. I am your host, Matt Schmidt, and today I am not always joined by my co-host and wife, Haley. She's a little under the weather, so I'm just doing, you know, the first couple segments on my own, but she is in on the review, and we've got a big one today, like everyone else in the world. Spider-Man No Way Home, the third movie in the Tom Holland trilogy and John Watts trilogy, first director in the MCU to do a full trilogy, John Watts, so congrats to him. We saw it Friday night and recorded immediately after, so we'll plug that in after some trailer park and a couple news segments. We'll try to zoom through this and get to what the people want in that review. First up, we'll start with the trailer park. Sonic 2 trailer hit the interwebs today. How are we feeling about Sonic 2? I did see the first one. It was fine. I remember the thing that people mostly remember for that movie is Sonic looking like shit, and then they redesigned him and released the movie later. And the second trailer, I mean, it looks like more of the same. It looks like it'll be entertaining. It'll be great for kids. Jim Carrey's back. In, you know, a true Dr. Robotnik look with the giant mustache. And we get a little teaser with Tails and Knuckles, who looks like he's doing the whole we're villains and then he'll probably help out in the end because Knuckles is a good guy. So, yeah, I don't know. It's Sonic. It looks like it'll be good. I think it comes out in April sometime. Sure, why not? Give me another Sonic movie. Next up is Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore. Now here's a movie series I know nothing about and haven't watched a thing. From what I can tell, people kind of care, but maybe not care a ton about this series. You got Jude Law back as Dumbledore. No more Johnny Depp as the main villain. Mads Mikkelsen is casting it. If anything, I was interested in this trailer to see what Mads Mikkelsen looked like. He just looks like Mads Mikkelsen. They didn't try to make him look like Johnny Depp at all. So yeah, Fantastic Beasts. I guess it's a thing that maybe some people care about. Let's see, when does this come out? Comes out April 15th, 2022. It is directed by David Yates. I think he did a lot of the Harry Potter movies. Let's see, he did Order of the Phoenix, Half-Blood Prince, both the Deathly Hallows, and then he's done all the Fantastic Beasts up till now. So, I mean, his filmography is literally, like, just Harry Potter things. It's all Harry Potter, and then The Legend of Tarzan, the Margot Robbie one from 2016, and then his directorial debut is something called Titchborne Claimant. No idea what that is. So other than those two movies, his entire filmography is Harry Potter movies, so that's kind of nuts, kind of crazy. So again, that comes out in April. Third up is a doozy of a trailer, Home Team. So this is a movie I forgot was being made, but I did remember hearing about it. It's the story of when Sean Payton got kicked out of the league for a year because of the whole Bounty Gate thing, where it wasn't him specifically, but his D coordinator was paying players money the harder they'd hit people, which isn't a thing that was, like, people in the NFL did that all the time. They just got caught. So Sean Payton got kicked out of the league for a year, and for that 1 year, he coached his kid's middle school football team, which is a whatever story to me. Well, Adam Sandler decided to make it a movie, and it's Kevin James as Sean Payton. You know, the guy that everyone always says looks a hell of a lot like Sean Payton. Not, I don't know, this looks stupid. I'm sorry. Like, it's a kid's movie. It's not meant for me. They got the rights for the Saints for this movie. Like, they have footage from the Super Bowl. They have the Saints uniforms and everything, which is amazing to me. And this movie just looks like absolute trash. I'm sure this movie will have plenty of poop jokes. I think there were some puke jokes in the trailer. It's a classic, father isn't around enough, gonna learn a lesson and fall in love with his kid more. I don't know. I mean, it's Kevin James and like a very slapstick heavy Adam Sandler, like to the extreme movie. So I think it's on Netflix. Yeah, Netflix movie comes out January 28th, 2022. So circle your calendar days for this. It's just Rob Schneider's in it. Adam Sandler's wife is in it. Jackie Sandler. I just feel like this movie is like everything that people make fun of and hate in Adam Sandler movies, like all rolled into one and dialed to an 11. That's what the movie Home Team seems like to me. City, which is a new Sandra Bullock, Channing Tatum movie, and Daniel Radcliffe. And it's about Sandra Bullock's a writer. It's like Romancing the Stone. It looks like what Romancing the Stone would be made like today, I guess, right? It's Romancing the Stone, but they're trying to be funnier, like more of a comedy than an adventure movie. Looks like it's a mixture of that and Red Notice, like a funnier version of Red Notice. I don't know, it looks all right. I like the actors and actresses in it. I just don't know how funny it's actually going to be. If it's funny, it's going to be good. If the jokes aren't good, this movie's going to tank. But that's basically what it is. Daniel Radcliffe's the bad guy kidnapping Sandra Bullock. Channing Tatum is Sandra Bullock's fictional character, like model that she goes on tour with. So he decides he needs to go rescue her. So that's the dynamic of it. Lastly, Death on the Nile. So here's one. It's a sequel to Murder on the Orient Express, which was stars and directed by Kenneth Branagh, which I've heard people shit on. I didn't hate it. I thought it was a decent movie. It was a remake, so I knew the ending, and I still thought it was a decent movie. So I'm kind of excited for a sequel, which they also is also a remake, right? They're based on books, so people know them. But I never saw the ending of like this movie, like the original Death on the Nile. So I don't know how this one ends, so that might up my enjoyment level here. So, I mean, it's got a huge cast. You got Gal Gadot. She's kind of the main person in this, other than Kenneth Branagh. You got Annette Bening, Russell Brand in the first thing that I can think of in a long time. Armie Hammer is in this. Is he actually in this? Did they not edit him out? That's wild. Okay, Armie, my interest level has gone down on this movie with Armie Hammer in it. I guess he's in this. Sophie Okendo is in this. I have only seen her in Hotel Rwanda when she got an Oscar nomination for that. Has she been in anything since then? There's a 5-year gap in her filmography from 08 to 13. She was in Hellboy a couple years ago. I didn't see that. Jeez, I didn't realize that she was still making movies. Looks like she did theater for a while. Maybe that's why I hadn't seen her in anything. Okay, so she's in that. She played Don Cheadle's wife in Hotel Rwanda. So yeah, another big cast. Like I said, it's going to be a murder mystery. That's what all these movies are in this series, with Hercule Poirot, the Agatha Christie movies. So I love murder mysteries if they're done decent, I guess, or competently, which I thought the first one of these was. It wasn't amazing, didn't blow me out of the water, but I thought it was decent, so I'm somewhat excited for this movie, minus the Armie Hammer thing. It comes out February 11th, 2022. February, not the best month for a movie to be released based on quality, but with COVID, that kind of changes things a little bit, so we'll see. So yeah, Death on the Nile, something I'm lukewarm to somewhat excited about, so we'll see how that one turns out. Alright, on to news, which we always start out with box office. So let's take a look at the box office numbers from this past weekend, which, I mean, it's just going to be Spider-Man. So yeah, this past weekend, the 17th to the 19th, I mean, it's domestically, it's Spider-Man, No Way Home, $260.1 million. We'll get into where that ranks all time. But number two is Encanto, but it's such a drop-off. It goes from $260.1 million to Spider-Man to Encanto 6.5. That's incredible. I'm sure a drop-off like that happens more often than I know than I realize, but that's an insane drop-off to me. That's just insane. Number three is West Side Story at $3.7 million, which I plan on seeing that movie. All I hear is it's great. It's a great remake of the original. But it's just bombing at the box office. I mean, this is a movie. Let me bring up the budget on this thing. I mean, it's a Spielberg movie, which is heavy hitter in Spielberg, right? It's a classic, like, remake. You'd think it'd be doing well. It's, like, somewhat family-friendly, I assume. But it's just bombing. I mean, I know Spider-Man just came out, but this movie's been out for a couple weeks. So the budget on this thing was $100 million, which I feel like is actually kind of low for a Spielberg movie. Box office right now, though. And this, I'll have to look up on whether it's domestic or not. I don't think it is, though. Wikipedia usually is everything. $29 million. That's an insanely terrible number. I know it's pandemic and everything, but we'll get into Spider-Man's destroying records right now. So you can kind of blame it on the pandemic, but maybe not as much as you think you could. So, yeah, West Side Story coming in third, but only $3.7 million for it. So, yeah, domestically it's 19.7 mil, and then internationally not even 10 mil. So it is a combined 29 million for West Side Story, so I don't know, like I said, all I hear is it's great though. I plan on seeing it, but it's getting killed at the box office. Number four is Ghostbusters Afterlife, 3.4 mil, and then rounding out the top five is Nightmare Alley, which is the new Guillermo del Toro movie with Bradley Cooper that I do want to see. That's 2.8 million though, so everything is just paling in comparison to Spider-Man No Way Home, which, you know, we can just segue into that. So Spider-Man, no way, killing it at the box office. Opening weekend, I just said the numbers, $260 million domestically, which is the second biggest all time. It passed Infinity War, so it's just number two to Endgame. So it's MCU movies in the top three, with Endgame, Spider-Man, No Way Home, and Infinity War. I think Force Awakens is number four on that, so they're all Disney properties. Shocker. Worldwide, it is over $600 million, which is the third biggest of all time. So internationally, it didn't beat out Infinity War, so it's sitting behind Infinity War worldwide numbers-wise. And then currently, it's at $751.3 million, which means it passes F9 for the year's biggest movie. So F9, a movie that came out in the summer, and you know, I don't know if it's still showing in any theaters around the world, but a movie that's presumed it's been making money for months, Spider-Man No Way Home, in almost one weekend, a little over one weekend, passes it. Insane stuff. And our review of that will be coming up here shortly, so you'll hear what we think about that movie. But before we get there, last two things. Game Awards happened. Big video game fan over here. Game Awards apparently had a big year. Numbers are saying 85 million people through different channels, whether it's Twitch, YouTube, what have you, watch the Game Awards. Video game fan here. Did not watch them. It was kind of a down year, in my opinion, for video games. I got some friends who would maybe agree with that. There just wasn't anything that excited me, but apparently people watch the live stream. The numbers were up from last year, which I did watch. There were a couple games last year that I was very much interested in and played. Out of the Game of the Year nominees, there's what, six of them here? I didn't play a single one. Resident Evil 8, which is like the big name one to me, I didn't play. Ratchet and Clank had a new game. Psychonauts 2, don't know what that is. Metroid Dread, I've heard, you know, didn't play, know of it. Deathloop nominated, and then the winner was It Takes Two, which is something I did not hear, I hadn't heard of. I watched the trailer. What an interesting game this thing is. So it's a game, I mean, storyline aside, it's about like two people who are going to get divorced, get turned into dolls, and it's like a healing of their relationship, essentially, is the storyline. But there's no single player in this. You're forced to play split screen or online with someone, which is crazy to me. Like, I get that that's like a different thing, but like, I don't want to do that. I like single player stuff. So that's just kind of a weird game that I'm a little surprised won Game of the Year, but in a year where not a lot of big games came out, I mean, I guess I get it, but still kind of crazy to me. But yeah, last thing here before we get into the big review, Golden Globe nominations came out. Don't need to spend a lot of time on this. We did a whole breakdown of the top contenders based on Gold Derby rankings a couple episodes ago, so I would check that out if you want to hear our opinions on things, because looking at the nominations, it's mostly chalk. It's a lot of the movies that we talked about in that episode. The only real maybe head scratcher, and when you know it's the Hollywood Foreign Press, you know, the Golden Globes doing it, it's not that big of a head scratcher. First thing to note, these are not automatic, like a foretelling or shadowing of what the Oscar nominations will be. The Golden Globe nominations are somewhat of a joke. It's the Hollywood Foreign Press wanting to get big name people in the room to get people to watch it, which I get why they do it, but they're not necessarily nominating the people that deserve it, I guess is the point. The only really big surprise is in Best Supporting Actor, Ben Affleck got nominated, but not for The Duel, which is the movie I thought, I wouldn't even think he would get nominated for, but it's the only movie I could think of that he was in. He was nominated for The Tender Bar. Never heard of it, don't know what it is. I went back to Gold Derby and looked at the list, because they rank everyone, like everything, down to 100 or something like that on who can get nominated. Ben Affleck for that movie on Gold Derby's website, and I don't know their complete algorithm for this, but he's number 62 on their list of people to get nominated. So I'm sure that's just the Hollywood Foreign Press saying, let's get Ben Affleck at the ceremony and get people watching. But that's really the only head scratcher that I could see on this. It's a lot of the people you'd think from the movies, you'd think like Belfast, Power of the Dog, Will Smith, and the woman that played his wife, nominated for King Richard, Leo, a lot of the heavy hitters, don't need to break into it. The other big surprise, not surprise, but thing I was happy to see was Anthony Ramos getting nominated for In the Heights. I thought he was fantastic in that movie. He was kind of lower on the Gold Derby rankings, but that was a role and a guy that I wanted to see get some notoriety for it. So that was one I was happy to see get nominated. Of course, the Golden Globes, unlike the Oscars, they split comedy and musical into one category and then drama in another. So you can kind of double up on the nominations, which is why you can get some more names in the room, to get more nominees than the Academy normally does, but it's still kind of cool seeing people get recognized for their work. So that's the Golden Globe nominations, and that's pretty much all we got. I just want, you know, run through those trailers and news for everyone, and then we'll just dive into our Spider-Man No Way Home review. So here we go. Spider-Man No Way Home, the latest in the MCU, the Tom Holland Spider-Man series. We will start with non-spoilers, because I feel like this movie has been a trail of possible spoilers or just hearsay since it started. Mm-hmm. So we will start with non-spoilers.
I'm going to try really hard. I'm not always good at that. Even when I try to be, like, secretive, I'm not great. So I might just let you talk
through. Luckily, this is a podcast and I can just edit out any mistakes you make.
That's fair.
So
yeah.
If you just cut off in the middle of a sentence, it's because you accidentally said a spoiler. Like
bleep out a long part. That's not because I'm going on a tirade.
You're not just swearing out your ass. You're dropping the C word or all these other random words that people shouldn't be hearing. It's because of the spoilers. That's why we're bleeping it out.
Yeah.
We're recording. We just saw it. Walked out of the theater. Came home. It's December 17th, 9:45 p.m. Fresh out of the theater. Maybe we'll talk about stuff from the trailers. I wouldn't consider that spoilers, but sure. The Rotten Tomatoes summary is, for the first time in the cinematic history of Spider-Man, our friendly neighborhood hero's identity is revealed, bringing his superhero responsibilities into conflict with his normal life and putting those he cares about at risk. When he enlists Doctor Strange's help to restore his secret, the spell tears a hole in the world, releasing the most powerful villains who's ever fought a Spider-Man in any universe. Now Peter will have to overcome his greatest challenge yet, which will not only forever alter his own future, but the future of the multiverse. Directed by John Watts, who directed the other two MCU or Tom Holland Spider-Man movies. The same cast of characters are in it. Quickly, I guess, Rotten Tomatoes score. Certified 94 by the critics, 99 by the audience. Right now on IMDb, it is a 9.1.
And, on IMDb?
Yep. Oh. And Metacritic score is a 72, which is pretty high. Metacritics are usually lower. So it's.
I never really pay attention to Metacritic. Honestly, I don't know where those scores come from. But anyway.
Yeah.
You said it's good for them, so that's good.
Yeah. No, that's usually. It's a good score for them. So, I guess, what'd you think overall? Again, no spoilers. I'll just keep reminding you, this is no spoilers.
I loved it. I was excited. When it was done, I was like, we tell babysitters to, hang out for a little bit, because I want to see it again.
Yeah, it is, almost 2.5 hours, mm-hmm. So
yep.
They would have been here for a while. Yeah. It turns out they're going to see the movie, too, so yeah. They would have cut into their showtime.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah, it was very good. Action-packed, felt like an event, because you knew you were seeing these characters from older movies, and we just watched all five of the previous non-Tom Holland movies in a row leading up to this, so it felt like this movie was a culmination or an event. It was exciting in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it was...
There was some, nostalgia factor to it, too. Even from the trailer, seeing Alfred Molina being like, hello, Peter. Just hearing his voice.
Yeah.
Brings you back to the Tobey Maguire series.
Yeah. A de-aged Alfred Molina. Did you notice? Or
no.
Did that?
No.
Did he look?
It was a lot better than Robert De Niro, the Irishman. I'll say that.
Well, they're very different. I would say very different. Alfred Molina is not in this movie as much as Robert De Niro is in the Irishman.
Even more reason why they should have done a better job.
And plus, they're de-aging Alfred Molina to just a slightly younger looking Alfred Molina versus Robert De Niro, who's a 90-year-old looking man.
I'm allowed to say it teenager. Was better. What other comparison is there? It's those two. So I'm just saying.
I'm trying to think, because there's probably a lot. Let's do it. De-aging in movies. De-aging in film. It has its own Wikipedia page. Is it better than Patrick Stewart in X-Men The Last Stand?
I don't remember.
That was when him and Magneto visit Jean Grey as a kid.
I didn't realize that they had been doing that for a while. The Irishman, that was the biggest thing. Oh my god, we've got new technology.
Well, that was
anyway, we don't need to talk about the Irishman.
No, it's okay. Martin Scorsese. Irishman is big because it's three big cast members and it's for the whole movie. Versus Michael Douglas at the beginning of Ant-Man.
Okay.
Samuel Jackson, Captain Marvel. Is it better than that one?
They de-aged Samuel L. Jackson and Captain Marvel?
Yeah, they did. They did, because it takes place in the 90s, even though Sam Jackson doesn't look that different, I would say.
No.
But But yeah, so you thought it was good?
Yeah.
Any other, like, what other thoughts we got here about Spider-Man No Way Home, non-spoilers, in terms of just a movie, how it looked, the acting, and the scope of the MCU? What are your thoughts? What's running through your head?
I don't think this is too much of a spoil by saying this. I like that MJ and Ned were, like, more involved with the whole, like, plan tactic, if that makes sense. Like they were, like, part of it through the whole thing instead of just, like, at the end of the first Tom Holland one. They all have Home in the title, and I can never remember which one is which.
Homecoming.
Yep. Homecoming's the first one. Where it's, like, at the end, he's like, you can be my guy in a chair. And it's like, oh, that was, like, his small involvement at the end. You know, so I like that they were players through the whole thing.
This is the first movie where they both know he's Spider-Man from mm-hmm. start to finish, too.
That would so help
that helps a little bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Because, yeah, I think they're good. I remember when people first realized that Zendaya was playing MJ, people were upset because she's not, like, a redheaded white supermodel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, who cares? I think she's really good as
yeah.
MJ.
Yeah.
And this is the first time, this is not really a spoiler either, this is the first time they mentioned that her last name is Watson.
Yeah.
Because before she had just been Michelle Jones, MJ, which is different than Mary Jane.
Yeah.
But this is the first time where they say Watson. And she doesn't like that for some reason.
Yeah.
So maybe some...
I would say, I don't remember if that had come up in the earlier ones.
No, I don't think it has, but yeah, Ned leads back in it. He's bald in real life, and this is apparently a wig. I didn't really realize that. I mean, I knew, like, in interviews and stuff he was bald, but I thought maybe it was, like, after recording or something. But nope, this is just always a wig in these movies.
It's always been a wig,
that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So there you go. So yeah, the plot of this movie is it's basically the One More Day storyline from the comics, which when Civil War happens, which was like around 2005, Spider-Man takes a side of Tony Stark and then announces his act of agreeing with Tony is revealing his identity and signing up for the registration. So now the whole world knows that he is Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
But then after the events of Civil War, he wants to take it back. And part of that storyline is he asks Doctor Strange for help, who actually turns him down. And then that's when he makes the deal with Mephisto. And then Mephisto wants his marriage in return. So that's when MJ and Peter, after being married for decades in comics, split up. And everyone hated it. No one really liked this comic.
Yeah.
But that's what happened. So this is kind of a similar spin where when he goes to Doctor Strange, he actually just helps him instead. So no Mephisto or anything like that. He actually helps him. Funny thing, again, not spoiler, I think it's kind of funny that Wong is Sorcerer Supreme, because that's Doctor Strange, that's what he is known for. But then it's like, no, Wong has a technicality because I was blipped for 5 years. I think that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. They're going to change that sometime in the future. But then Peter messes up the spell while he's doing it. And then that's why all these visitors coming from different multiverses are showing up. I think this is going to be well-reviewed, well-received. It's an event of a movie as far as ties into the MCU. It doesn't help out the MCU world in a big way, and I don't want to reveal too much in the end, but the way that they set up future Spider-Man movies might not make some people happy, which we can talk about later. I personally like it a lot. I think the ending of this movie kind of brings, like, it's actually Spider-Man again versus what the MCU had been doing with Spider-Man, which is people's complaints with it have been, he's just Iron Man. Like, he's a mini Iron Man. He's got an Iron Man suit that can do everything for him.
Yep.
That's basically what it was. And I totally understand that. Like, I love Spider-Man because he is a small-ish time hero. But the MCU, you know, you kind of got to blow him up because they got to fight Thanos. So I could see how some people might not like where the ending of this movie takes future Spider-Man movies, but I personally do like it.
Mm-hmm.
And another criticism I could see is they don't really introduce it. There isn't a new villain in this movie.
Ah. Yeah.
It's retreading old ones from different universes or what have you. I think it might have been cool if they had a new villain be like the person behind it all or organizing it or something along those lines, you know?
Okay, yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it didn't really set up like any new villains or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see those criticisms, but I think the experience of the movie is well worth the ride, though, and makes it, you know, a very, very good movie. So, all right, we're back days later in the kitchen, fermenting the ideas of what score we're going to give Spider-Man No Way Home. So we're at the end of the... You're so talkative, Miles. We're at the end of the non-spoiler section, so it's time for scores. Who wants to go first?
Why don't you go first?
Okay. I am going to give this movie, and you mentioned it before we started recording this, it's possibly recency bias, but I don't care. It kind of is what it is. I'm going to give it a 9.0.
Nice! Good.
You approve of my score?
I do.
Thank you.
Because I'm going to give a higher score than that.
Oh, look at you. Which I think is like an giving it a 9.0 is an impressive mark considering that this whole movie was spoiled beforehand, but it was still so much fun to watch. Oh,
yeah. It was almost everything I wanted it to be.
Yeah. It just made me very happy throughout the movie. Like, I had a smile on my face the whole time.
Oh, my God.
So it's got, it's not perfect. It's got, like, its own issues that we'll talk about in spoilers, but, like, I still just, I had a smile on my face the whole time. I like, the ending was big for me. I like the idea. It makes me really excited for future movies.
Agreed. And that's why I am giving this, drum roll, a 9.2.
Okay.
Maybe that's ludicrous, and maybe that won't stack up over time. Maybe I'm still, like, riding a high on it, but I loved it so much. I did. I loved it. It was so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to be one of those people that's like, oh, they could have done this differently, or maybe this was contrived, or whatever. It was fun. It was a fun movie to sit through, and I loved the nostalgic aspects of it. I loved how they were able to change certain things about the Spider-Man story. Like, I loved how this was almost like Tom Holland's, like, Spider-Man origin story in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. It's good.
Nice. Yeah? Is that like an 8? Was that 8 dudes, Miles? Is that what you're going to give it? 8 doo-doos?
Yeah, Miles rates on a scale of doo-doos, I think.
Miles gives it 8 doo-doos. All right, so those are our scores. And
I don't spoil things. Name me one thing that I've actually spoiled.
Do we want to talk about spoilers?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the first thing that we want to talk about?
Here's setting up the spoiler. Ned gets the... I never saw Doctor Strange, so I don't know much about Doctor Strange. Ned gets the little, like, finger thing, and he, like, opens a portal. He's like, I just want to see Peter Parker. Boom.
Yeah.
Here's Andrew Garfield in his spider suit.
Right? So, meant to think maybe it's Tom Holland because it's a spider suit. Nope, it's not. And then they open another portal... And a middle-aged,
Tobey Maguire in just, you know, plain clothes. They're like, oh, it's just some random guy.
Yeah.
And then he, like, I thought the same thing, too. I'm like, who the fuck is this dude? I'm like, oh, Tobey Maguire, much older than I expected.
Yes.
But you reminded me, he was practically...
A 35-year-old high schooler in the first Spider-Man movie. So he's probably around 60 nowadays.
He's like 60 years old. Have you looked up how old Tobey Maguire is? I haven't. I am now, though. He is 46. Okay, he's just totally credited for Spider-Man.
I know. Well, on his Wikipedia page, the first sentence is... He is best known for playing the title character from Sam Raimi's Spider-Man trilogy, reprising his iteration character in the later Spider-Man No Way Home. I'm like, should we be putting this out in the world right now?
Oh my God.
Yep, so...
They describe him as a cool youth pastor.
Like, that was what I was trying to think of. Cool youth pastor.
They're like, hey, you gonna be in your suit, or are you just gonna go along and you're like cool, looking like a cool youth pastor? And he just like pulls his t-shirt down a little bit, and he's got his suit on underneath.
Yep. So they're in it.
Yay!
So how
everyone
do
everyone went nuts?
Yes, they did. Lots
everyone
of people.
Went nuts.
Theater went crazy. Absolutely insane. How do we feel about Andrew Garfield just being a liar for the last like year and a half? Just telling people, no, that's a Photoshop.
Yeah,
oh, no,
yeah,
I'm not in it.
Pretty much any interview he's done over the last, like, 2 years, people are like, hey, so you're in the next Spider-Man movie. And he's just like, he blatantly says, no, I'm not in the movie, guys.
Which is just Disney saying you have.
McGuire's probably just laughing in the background, like, no one gives a
shit
about me.
I haven't made a movie in five years.
No one gives a shit about me anymore.
Andrew Garfield just did Tick, Tick, Boom.
Yes.
And that's he'd been doing press for that for the last, like, 6 months or year. Or maybe not year, but whatever. And, yeah, no one wanted to talk about Tick, Tick, Boom. It's just, hey, look at this picture of you that someone took of you on set of Spider-Man. Is this you? No, it's Photoshop. I mean, when the Hat Man is looking over your shoulders and being like, you better say no. You gotta say no.
Yeah.
And I get it. Because the moment of them showing up on screen, like, even though we kind of knew they were going to be in it, even though before going to the movie,
we were hoping.
I kept saying, remember, they might not be in this. They might not be in this.
Yeah.
Don't get your expectations up. But they're in it. And the moment where you see them for the first time was pretty awesome.
It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. It was really good.
Yeah. Some people were wondering, since the villains were de-aged, were Toby and Andrew Garfield going to be de-aged? No, they're not. They're the Spider-Men, but, like, time has passed.
Yeah, they are pulled straight from where they are in their own timeline, their own universe.
Mm-hmm. So, interesting that Andrew Garfield, he mentions how he lost Gwen, and then he became angry in life and became like an angry person. They casted Mary Jane in The Amazing Spider-Man and actually shot. There's deleted scenes of her in it.
Oh, okay.
Shailene Woodley played her.
Oh.
So interesting, like, there's no MJ in his universe.
Yeah, yeah.
So they weren't pulling any of that, which is fine. Like, they're deleted scenes, it's not canon. But interesting that they did that.
Yep.
And then Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man and Mary Jane Watson are still together.
Yep,
and
Kirsten Dunst.
Yep.
MJ.
So kind of a little nice closure on that, considering
yeah.
in Spider-Man 3, he kind of flat out hit her.
I guess.
But it was the symbiote's fault, so I guess it's fine. But yeah, so they're together. So it was nice seeing them on screen again. So yeah, they're in it. But you mentioned Ned, so we'll come back to that, obviously, big plot point there.
Yeah.
How do we feel about Ned just being a sorcerer now, apparently?
I thought it was kind of cool.
I thought it was...
But like I said, I know nothing about Doctor Strange, so I think this is probably a bigger deal than I think it was. I'm just like, oh, cool, he picks up this thing and he can do it. Like, can everyone do that?
No, apparently, like, if I remember, I haven't seen the first Doctor Strange in a while. I think you have to have, like, sorcerer training to do it. Like, when Doctor Strange first, like, he can't do it the first time. It takes him a while in training to be able to do it. So it's kind of weird just to be like, oh, Ned has these tingling in his fingers. Oh, I can open portals now.
But, well, that was kind of a joke earlier in the movie that his mom had told him, or his grandma, I don't remember. Oh, like, you're magic. We have magic in our family. So he's like, look, Mom, you're right.
Yeah.
I am magic.
It was just kind of, it was like one line brought up at the beginning of the movie just to like service the plot later on though. So that was kind of a little wonky. But yeah, so the point of the movie. So, okay, Toby and Andrew are in it. They're fantastic. But what happens is all the villains are coming in. Doctor Strange just wants to send them back to their universe. But
He basically says, like, hey, Peter, go collect them all, and then when you're done, this is what we're doing.
And they're being pulled into the universe because it's people who know who Spider-Man is in other universes, but Electro didn't, right? Like, how did Electro get pulled into the universe? Unless that's just, like, a plot error.
We should know. We just watched that one. Oh, shoot. So I thought at the end, but that's Harry that realizes.
Yeah, that's Harry.
You're right. I don't know if Electro ever did know that was...
Because even at the end of this...
Peter.
Yeah, because even at the end of this one, when Andrew Garfield takes his mask off in front of Max Dillon, Electro, he's like, oh, since you helped out poor people, like, helped out people, I kind of was hoping you were black. Like, he didn't know he was Peter Parker.
Shit.
So I think it's just a plot error.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Right? Like, nope. Probably shouldn't be here.
Hey, Jamie Foxx, you're the biggest name, like, villain that we've had, like, actor-wise. We want you in this one. Is that cool? We'll just throw you in there.
Because in the trailers, they made it seem like these are villains that died at Spider-Man's hands.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm like, that's not right, because the Lizard is in this, and he didn't die. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that wasn't the spell. The spell is people who know who Peter is, but they still kind of got it wrong with Electro. I mean, I'm happy he's in it. Jamie Foxx is really good. And it's nice seeing him be a normal human being instead of a caricature nerd like in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a normal person in this. So he's really good, but I kind of thought, he shouldn't really be here, but whatever. But yeah, so... Doctor Strange wants to send them all back to their universe, and it's if they die at the hands of Spider-Man, that's their fate, whatever. But Peter, being, you know, that's who Spider-Man is. He doesn't just let people go die if he can stop it from happening.
Mm-hmm.
He tries to save them. He tries to cure them of their powers, I guess, more so than anything, their powers, and then send them back to their world so that maybe they wouldn't die at Spider-Man's hands, which I get why he's doing that, but the same, if they don't have their powers, it seemed like they got plucked, like, right before,
right at their death.
Yeah, or, like, during a fight with Spider-Man, so they get tossed back in without their powers.
Zero chance.
Probably getting ripped in half.
Yeah.
But I guess I get the point of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So Spider-Man actually traps Doctor Strange in... I can't remember what the zone is called, but it's like a...
It's like an interdimensional space or something.
So the geometrical space. It was in the first Doctor Strange. So he traps him there while he tries to cure the villains of their powers and then send them back. And he runs into Green Goblin, who is doing the whole Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing. Who, you know, he's a good guy helping him out, and then, turns out they're a bad guy. He's just chewing up the scenes, like, in this. Like, he's amazing diving into that role. Like, he's just phenomenal. And then we get our Uncle Ben moment. But it's Aunt May as Uncle Ben. How'd you feel about that part?
It was sad. It was so sad. That was, like, this movie had really good acting.
It was heavier than the other ones.
It was. Like, I feel like you saw a lot more of, like, the pain that Peter had in losing someone. That was tough.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. The MCU Spider-Man was predicated on we're not doing an origin story.
Yeah.
But then they kind of found a way to do it anyways in the third movie.
Sure.
So I guess Uncle Ben, like, he didn't have the Uncle Ben moment. I guess Uncle Ben was just...
Not around.
Not around, or when he died, it wasn't because of Peter.
Was May ever married? Maybe she wasn't even married in this.
I can't remember if it's been mentioned before.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it's something assumed, because it's always Uncle Ben and Aunt May.
Right.
But if there was an Uncle Ben, he didn't have his Uncle Ben moment with Peter. But in this one, Aunt May is the Uncle Ben, so she gets killed by the Green Goblin and still has time to get her with great power comes great responsibility line in there.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to get it.
Yep.
Spider-Man's on the run, too, because J. Jonah Jameson's kind of turned everyone on him. The police are just flat out shooting at him, too. And I don't know, it was just kind of crazy. And then we get introduced to the Spider-Men because Ned brings him in. And then it was just a bunch of fun moments at that point of the three of them interacting with each other.
Yeah, when they have this, like, plan, like, oh, okay, we can develop cures for everyone, and they're like, okay, cool. So you've got all three of them in the lab working on stuff, and you even have that moment with MJ. She's kind of standing there for a second. She's like, the three of you. I'm just watching three of you doing your thing in the science lab.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool.
What was your favorite interaction with them?
I need to try and, like, replay some of them in my head. But I think the funniest part was when they're talking about their web shooters.
Yeah.
Because that's when Toby can say, like, yeah, mine's just organic. And so, like, does it come out of your wrist? Or, like, where does it come from? Do you have to think about it? Like, do you have to, like, tell your body to do it? And he's like, no, it's kind of like breathing. Like, you don't have to think about it. It just kind of happens. And, like, do you get web blockages? And Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man's like, I have to, like, make my own. And that's just, and Toby's like, oh, that sounds like a hassle. He's like, it's a hassle.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Andrew Garfield was, like, he's probably my favorite Peter Parker.
Okay.
Or, like, Tom Holland looks the youngest, so it's kind of nice having that. Mm-hmm. So you don't have a 30-plus-year-old look in high school.
Yeah.
Because even Andrew Garfield was 28 or something when the first movie was made. Yeah.
God, he's so
youthful
looking.
He looked younger.
I mean, Tom Holland is, too.
Like, yeah, because, like, Tom Holland's older.
Really young.
But. Yeah. So, like, I always liked that Tom Holland looked younger, and he does...
That was a big thing when the first movie came out. The number of people Google searching, is Tom Holland over 18? Because I think a lot of people were thinking, he's looking good, but is this legal for me enjoy looking at him?
Did not know that was a thing. Yep, were you one of those people?
No.
Is that how you know about this?
That is how I know about this.
No? No. But Andrew Garfield was great. And I mean, they were all great, but he was the one that kind of seemed like it just fit like a glove again with him. He's doing all the quips again and having emotional moments.
Yes, no, I loved that because I've told you this. Like, I didn't know much about the Spider-Man story when the Tobey Maguire movies came out. And then when you and I saw the Andrew Garfield Amazing Spider-Man, those two movies, I was like, oh my god, this guy, like, doesn't stop talking. And you're like, that's Spider-Man. Like, he makes jokes. He quips, like, as he's, like, fighting these villains and whatever. I'm like, oh, I never knew that because Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man doesn't really do that in the movies.
He does more rewatching them than we thought, but not a ton, though.
But it wasn't, at least for me, like, seeing it the first time, like, that wasn't something I picked up on. And so, yes, I loved that as they're having their fight, like, yes, he's just right back in it. He's the one making all the jokes,
like,
and stuff.
When he comes through the portal and MJ, like, Zendaya is like, prove your, and she's throwing bread at him, and he goes, did you have the spider tingle? And he's like, yeah, I have it, but
not for
bread. And then she's like, crawl on the wall, and he, like, sticks one hand on the wall, and he's like, I think this is good enough.
She's like, no, that's not. So, and he's like, what do you want me to do?
So he was great. He had a redeeming moment, because, like, when they first...
That was my favorite.
That was your favorite?
I did. I got emotional during that. It was good.
When Toby and Andrew first meet Tom Holland, they kind of... Because it's right after May dies, and they're trying to tell him, like, we know what you're going through.
Yeah.
And Toby says, like, does he bring up Uncle Ben? I think he brings up Uncle Ben dying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But Andrew didn't. He brought up Gwen dying.
Yeah.
But then he was able to kind of redeem his moment, because it's in the trailer, Zendaya's falling, and I think some people might have guessed that this was going to happen, but Tom Holland isn't the one to catch her.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
And some of it happens, like, almost exactly as it does in, like, the Clock Tower in Amazing Spider-Man 2. Like, the way he, like, the way they're falling together, and he ends up catching her, and he instantly has... Yeah. Tears in his eyes. He's like, are you okay? And she is, like, very clearly, like, sitting up in his arms, and she's like, yes, I'm okay. And he's just, like, welling up, and she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no one ever asked if Spider-Man's okay, you know?
Yeah. And he's just like, I finally caught her. I got her. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was great. I liked Sandman in this too, because he initially starts out as a good guy, because at the end of Spider-Man 3, he's kind of a good guy again.
Yep, yep.
So he actually helps out Tom Holland fighting out Electro, but when Doctor Strange is kind of just blindly trying to zap people back, he's kind of like, all right, no, I don't trust anyone here anymore. Yeah, I'm out of here. But him and Toby kind of, like, talk or have, like, a little moment too. It was nice seeing, like, all the original villains and Spider-Men interact a little bit. Lizard is in this, but it's not voiced by the original guy. It's someone different. Which was weird.
The whole Lizard thing was just weird to me, because
he's barely in it. Yeah. It's like a throwaway. I felt like it was just like, we can CG a lizard in this movie. Let's just do it.
Yes, exactly. And it looked different, and I think part of it was just like, oh, we could clean this up. We could do a better job with whatever. But it didn't look enough the same to me, like, in a weird way.
And I guess you could explain it with Electro looks different.
He does,
and it's because, yeah. And they explain that with this universe has different
energy
or electricity, yeah. So he looks different. So I don't know. You can make the same excuse with Lizard for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah, no, Lizard was, weird. And then once they showed him in his, like, human form, like, that guy never talked. I'm like, is this, like, a Back to the Future Part 2 where the guy's just like, I don't want to be in it, and they use his likeness, and he's like, not cool. I don't know.
It was so weird. Because it definitely wasn't voiced.
I don't really care
enough about the Lizard.
But, I don't know, it just seems weird.
Yeah.
Here's something. You know, we were talking about how the Lizard looks different. Well, one big change for the villains is Doc Ock's arms. Because in the original Spider-Man 2, they were, like, actual, like, puppets controlled by literal people, like, puppeteers walking around, moving them. And then they, you know, CGI over it and stuff, whatever. But this, they were completely computer-generated, this one. I didn't like it as much.
No, I think practical is always better.
Yeah, it's just harder to do.
It's just harder to do. Like, 16 people literally had to work those four arms, and it's just too time-consuming and hard to work around. So when you can just strap Alfred Molina in a... like a crane, and just move them around, and then CG stuff, like, it's just easier to do.
Yeah.
But I agree, like, I think they look better in Spider-Man 2 than in this, but I guess that's just the way it goes these days. Mm-hmm. But no, you're right, I agree, though.
Any other villain changes? Because they all kind of had it changed, didn't they? Sandman was probably pretty much the same.
It was weird, I think the only ones that changed were the ones from Andrew Garfield's world.
Oh, well, because I was going to say, like Harry Osborn, like, his
Norman.
Oh, yeah, Norman Osborn. His costume was
different. Well, the costume's different, but, like, his Electro is physiology. He just looks different.
Yeah.
Lizard just looked different. I mean, because Norman, he had his original costume at the beginning.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It was fine. Like, those three, they kept the same. It was almost like... okay, you three did it good. These movies didn't do it as good. We're going to change it.
Yeah.
Make it better. I like the webbing part. Like, when Toby shows, he's got the organic webbing, and Tom and Andrew freak out over it. Like, that was awesome. I liked it when they start talking about their villains.
Mm-hmm.
And Tobey Maguire's fought an alien from space that turned out being, like, a black goopy thing. And Tom Holland's like, I fought an alien too, actually on Earth, but also in space, and he was purple, and Andrew Garfield's just in there like, I haven't fought an alien, what?
I'm lame. I need an alien. Yes! Oh my god, that was so funny.
Like, I'm so lame, and then Tobey Maguire's like, no, you're amazing, it's okay.
And I just nudge you like, huh, get it, because his suit's called the Amazing Spider-Man. Then, and yeah, he just keeps saying, he's like, no, you're amazing, and I'm just like, oh, they just keep saying it. It's so good.
So I liked when they were talking villains, and yeah, it's just like, I fought aliens, and Toby was like, I want to come back to you fought him in space. That's cool. And then yeah, Andrew Garfield was just like, I fought a Russian guy in a rhino robot suit. Like, oh my god, yeah, that's kind of lame.
So also that was my favorite interaction with the Spider-Man. One scene that I do want to particularly point out, because I thought it was fantastic, and it might be the best use of the spider sense in any movie, other than maybe the car scene in Spider-Man 2. Don't need to get into it, but there's a scene in this movie where Peter's spider sense is going off, but he doesn't know why, and it was such a good scene where he's just like his ears are ringing and he's walking around Happy's apartment looking at these different characters trying to figure out which one is the one that's about to turn on him. And it was done so well, and it caused tension, right? Like, you, as the audience member, you maybe had a guess on who it was, but like, you didn't know these are all villains. And seeing him focus and work it out and then guess correctly on it was amazing. That was maybe, that was one of my favorite scenes for sure.
Even like as like when all the villains are in Happy's condo, that's a good part too. That was like their hideout place was mm-hmm. Happy's condo. I think this is when this happened, but all the villains were kind of like, oh no, was it just Sandman and Electro? They're talking about, so what happened to you? Oh, well, I fell into this vat of electric eels. Oh, yeah. He's like, yeah, well, I fell into the sand pit that had a
particle
collider. And he's like, oh, guess we got to be careful and not fall into things.
Yeah,
and
we got to watch like, where we fall.
What? Like, we're talking villain origin stories here?
Yeah. You mentioned it before we sat down, but, like, it was corny enough with the three Spider-Men, yes, everyone together. It wasn't like overdone, but it was like just enough.
Yeah. And just the nostalgia of, yeah, some of their moments. And, you know, to hear, oh, do you ever get web blockages? And Toby's like, well, you know, actually I did once, but it was more just like an existential crisis, yeah, kind of thing. Just
referencing the movies.
So it was cool having like those callbacks to those things. Like Toby being like, before they go to fight, he's like, trying to stretch his back over the railing. Andrew Garfield's like, hey, you all right? He's like, yeah, I just gotta, you know, I got this, like, lower back thing. Like, hey, me too. I've got a back issue, yeah, too.
Which I thought that was maybe a nod to the whole Toby almost wasn't in Spider-Man 2 because he had hurt his back.
Yeah.
And then they actually do a couple nods to that in Spider-Man 2. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. Or maybe that's a, like, an over... lane injury from when he hurt his back in Spider-Man
there
2.
There you go. Who knows? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I thought maybe there's a slight reference to the Hobgoblin in this movie because Ned is asking the other Spider-Man, like, do you have a best friend? And yeah. Toby says, I did. Yeah, he dyed my hands right after he tried to kill me. Like, you know, Harry Osborn, the new Goblin, Spider-Man 3. I thought maybe that it probably isn't, but in the comics... there isn't a Ned. The character of Ned Leeds in the MCU is basically Genki, who is Miles Morales' best friend in the comics. Not mm-hmm. Peter's, but Miles.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, we mentioned the whole Jamie Foxx mentioning a black Spider-Man. A little nod to Miles Morales a little bit.
Yeah. So people in the theater clapped at that,
yes,
too.
Yes, they did.
Like, man, I was just hoping there was a black Spider-Man. He's like, maybe there is out there somewhere. People are like, yeah!
Miles Morales. But Ned, like, went to Tom Holland and was like, I promise not to become a villain, try to kill you. Well, there is a character called Ned Leeds in the comics, and he becomes the Hobgoblin.
Mm.
But that's, I don't think this Ned is going to do that, but like maybe a little nod to that.
Yeah.
So how do we feel about the conclusion? So the big issue that happens is the multiverse is ripping apart because... all of the characters and all of the infinite numbers of multiverses that know that Peter Parker is Spider-Man were going to come to this universe. It's all ripping apart. Doctor Strange can't hold it together. So the solution...
same.
That Peter can't do it either.
Can't keep my shit together either.
The solution that Peter comes up with is just have everyone forget that Peter Parker exists. Does that span all multiverses, or is it just this world?
I would think it would just be this world.
Okay. Because I'm trying... I feel like, how does
but
that...
I don't...
Like, how
don't
does
know.
That solve the problem, I guess?
Yeah, well, it's weird because... Because I was going to say, like, he says, like, me, like, people who know me, but that's how it started in the first place. He's like... When he was asking Doctor Strange, he's like, I want everyone to forget me. He's like, oh, wait, except for...
Yeah.
MJ, except for Ned, and then, like,
and me.
All these people and, end up coming through anyway.
And I thought, and that's what, I thought this was the same spell. This one was different,
because mm-hmm.
the initial one was just, I want everyone to forget that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
The one at the end of the movie is, I want everyone in the world to forget Peter Parker exists.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter Parker does not exist mm-hmm. anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I assume he still has, like, a social security card and all of that stuff, but it's just, people just don't know who he is.
Yeah.
But I don't know how that exactly solved the problem of the multiverse splitting up.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't make everyone else in the multiverse forget what's stopping them from coming in. But I feel like it was just, that's how they wanted this movie to end, so it's kind of like, this solves the problem. We'll just say it solves the problem, so it solves it.
None of it's real anyway, so it's like, how much of an argument can you make? I don't know.
Yep. But yeah, so that's the level set at the end of this movie, is the whole world forgets that Peter Parker exists.
Mm-hmm.
They don't forget Spider-Man exists.
Right.
Like, he still helped out during Endgame, saved the world, all that stuff, but no one knows who Peter Parker is. So, you know, he has his goodbyes with MJ and Ned, and then he tries to go talk to them at the end of the movie and isn't able to do it, and they don't know who he is. This is what I was talking about earlier, where I like the ending, because, like, this is who Spider-Man is. Like, Spider-Man is a guy who is street level. Like, he isn't rich. Like, when he's inheriting Stark Tech and everything in these movies, I'm like, that's cool, but, like, that's not who the point of Spider-Man is, it can be an ordinary person who makes their own suit and goes out and saves people. So I like the ending of this because I think it brings it back to who Spider-Man truly is. But I could see just fans of the MCU, not necessarily the comic, but just the movies, being upset because they wanted Spider-Man to be the next Iron Man, which the first two movies were kind of doing. They were kind of setting him up to be the next Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is a little bit of a heel turn from that. But now he's, like, living in a shitty apartment, sewing his own suit together and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I have nothing against it.
So, it'll be interesting.
I'm okay with that ending, but I will say this was one thing that I was hoping for. Like, we pretty much saw all of these villains in the trailers.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there was,
for the most part.
There wasn't. I was kind of hoping there'd be a surprise villain or two.
Yes, I was hoping, like, I thought for sure there would be more, and I remember at one point telling him, like, oh, is there just going to be, like, a giant Green Goblin fight at the end? Because, like, you can have Willem Dafoe come back. You can have
James Franco
come back. You can have the guy from
Amazing Spider-Man.
I'm like, do you imagine having just a Green Goblin fight at the end? Like, that would be nuts.
Yeah, and you could.
I don't remember what it was where I was like, ooh, I think that means there's gonna be another one coming back, or if I was just thinking of it. I don't know. Yeah. But
and honestly, most of those characters were CG, so you don't even need to. Like, James Franco would maybe be the one that people would want the voice back for, or, like, to see him. Well, maybe not these days. Maybe they don't want to see him. But, like, you could
have. And maybe that played into it. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, but, like, but anyway, you could have CG'd most of that, too, and had him included. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 Green Goblin, I was a little surprised, wasn't in this. But, yeah, I was hoping for more villains outside of the ones we saw in the trailer, but we didn't really get that. We got, like, hints at it when the multiverse was splitting open. You could see outlines of people in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw, like, cartoon Rhino. Not Paul Giamatti. Oh, okay. Not Paul Giamatti from the movie, but, like, the guy in the Rhino suit with the horn. I could see the outline of him in there. So, like, you got kind of little nods to it.
Yeah.
But it would have been cool to see who else could they have shown, like, from previous movies. Because it was Green Goblin in Spider-Man 1, Doc Ock in the second one.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Venom. But, yeah, well, and he does kind of show up. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, I was like, where's Topher Grace? He's going to show up
here? Yeah, right. Right. I guess there really isn't too many. The Green Goblin, I guess, is it.
Yeah, same the two Green Goblins.
But that's where, like, I think maybe having a new villain kind of secretly in charge of all of it might have been kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if people think Mysterio is still alive, maybe if he even, like, a hint that he was behind it or a little bit would have been cool. Or, I don't know, just someone else. Oh, spoiler, Charlie Cox is in this.
Yes. Yes.
Is Matt Murdock, which is awesome. Which, going along with slight Hawkeye spoiler here, I guess people can hit 30 Skip seconds, ahead. I guess. But Kingpin, Vincent D'Onofrio Kingpin is in Hawkeye, like confirmed, credited. His name's in the credit. So they're bringing in Netflix stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, that's kind of cool to see. So.
This was funny. When the three of, like, the three Spider-Men were fighting against all the villains, they kind of have, like, a level set where they're, like, they'll, like, rip off their masks. They're, like, this is not going well. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know how to work as a team. And Tom Holland's, like, hey, no, I've worked in a team before. Yeah, I'm part of this group called the Avengers.
Not to brag, I'm an Avenger.
And they're like, what?
What's, is that a band? Are you in a band?
Yeah, Andrew Garfield. So, yeah. Are you in a band?
So yeah, kind of fun. Because yeah, in the previous Spider-Man movies, like, they're the only superhero in that world.
Yep, yep. Aren't any others.
MCU? Yeah, Avengers.
So. And then that's when they're, okay, no, you're Peter 2. I'm Peter 2? No, you're Peter 3. Okay, guys, no, we need to just, I'm Peter 1. You are... That was good.
Tobey Maguire, you're Peter 2. Andrew Garfield, you're Peter 3. Okay.
He's like, yeah, 3. Okay, I got it. Yeah.
Which, quick question, is the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man the strongest one out of these? Because Tom Holland, like, had a hard time beating up Green Goblin.
Like, yeah, right?
But I felt like Tobey Maguire Spider-Man beat up Green Goblin, not easily, but, like, easier than this.
Yeah.
Random thought that I had in that movie. Don't know. But anyways.
I know, the way he's, like, beating them to a pulp at the end, I was like, how can this guy, like, be taking this many punches from
Spider-Man? He's enhanced.
Yeah.
He's not Doc Ock's not.
And they hadn't gotten him with the, like, the cure, like, the serum yet at that point. I always forget about that. I think because I just, he's, in my mind, it's just, Willem Dafoe,
normal human being,
as an older man, and so I'm like, how is this old guy taking this punch from ripped Tom Holland? Like, okay, I get it now.
Yeah, yeah. I think mid credit scenes, I guess, next up.
Yep.
So the first one, the mid credit scene, is a spoiler related to Venom: Let There Be Carnage. So the end credit scene in that was Tom Hardy entering the MCU. And then this mid-credit scene,
that's the Venom one. That happened in Venom Carnage. Okay.
Yeah, and this one is him getting taken out of the MCU. It's him at a bar talking to the bartender about aliens.
Who's Danny Rojas from Ted Lasso.
Yep. So it's Tom Holland talking to Danny Rojas about the Avengers and the blip and Thanos and all this stuff. And then he goes, okay, we got to go to New York and talk to Spider-Man. And then, boom, he gets sent to his universe. So I think it's kind of weird. But then what happens is a little bit of Venom was left behind.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this is the introduction of Venom into the MCU. But it's kind of lame, though, right? Because
I don't know. I don't know enough about Venom to have an opinion.
Well, I think it's lame.
Plus, it was really hard for me to understand the Venom voice. There was, like, one line that was said, and people were like, oh, reacting. I'm like, what did it say? I did not understand what was just said.
Yeah. So, Venom...
And I feel like I couldn't ask you, because I'm like, oh, now the Venom voice is going again. I don't know. I was lost.
Well, and Tom Hardy does the Venom voice, but in a weird way.
I know.
So, Venom is an alien symbiote, usually. Not always, but usually. And I thought it was weird that if this is how they're introducing Venom, where it's like a piece left over from a different movie universe, that's just kind of lame. Like, it should have its own big introduction into the MCU, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, if a mid-credit scene of a movie is the introduction of maybe the most recognizable Spider-Man villain of all time, other than maybe Green Goblin, I just feel like that's kind of lame.
I mean, they've used mid-credit scenes to introduce other characters in the MCU. Like, Wanda and... Shoot, I can't remember her brother.
Yeah, Wanda and her... Yeah, her...
But...
Aaron Taylor-Johnson. Yeah, Quicksilver.
Quicksilver.
That's true. Like, that's the first time you see
like,
them.
They, like, they've done stuff like that before, but I...
Well, and I guess it's just weird to me. Like, in the MCU, one of the worlds where, like, they talk
that's
about
how they introduced it. Thanos. They introduced Thanos in a mid-credit or end-credit scene.
Yeah, but he like... I guess introducing it is one thing where it's the first time you see him. Like, that happens a lot. But this is, like, this is how Venom is in the universe. Like, this is, like, his origin story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's weird to me.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Because, like, in the MCU, there are aliens. I feel like it's easier to introduce Venom in this world because there are aliens. What made it kind of weird in the Tobey Maguire one is... that it wasn't really aliens, right? Like, it was more grounded, like, it's people altering their biology, and then it's, like, this asteroid just landed on Earth.
Yeah.
But in this world, there are aliens. Like, it's a little more acceptable to just to have that be introduced. So, I feel like it's kind of weird. That's just what I think. Maybe it's just Tom Hardy is tied to this universe now, so maybe it's just his way of being able to come back into it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. I thought that was kind of... interesting. By interesting, I guess I mean lame. I don't know if I like it. And then the end one was a trailer for Doctor Strange 2 Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, that's so, what it's called.
Yep, that's what it's gonna be called.
Sounds like a theme park ride.
Yeah, it does a little bit. Yeah, well, let's ride the Multiverse of Madness. Yeah, exactly. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
A little roller coaster action there, maybe.
Yeah.
Not a lot. We didn't know. Like, we knew Wanda was gonna be in it. Things like that. But I guess the one thing is Dark Doctor Strange shows up at the end, which I don't know a lot about Doctor Strange, but I think the first time we really saw that was in the What If TV show.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it was pretty good, though.
It was good.
It was good.
It was so fun.
I need to digest where it ranks because I feel like I enjoyed it, the viewing of it, more than, like, a Homecoming. But I think Homecoming had maybe one of the best villains of all time with Michael Keaton as Vulture. And this didn't really have, like we talked about, it didn't really have a new villain. It was just a bunch of old ones, so.
Yeah, it was a different kind of problem to solve.
Yeah.
I was partially hoping, you can keep this in here.
Oh, okay, yeah.
When Ned was doing the portal thing, like, because MJ's like, no, okay, wrong Peter Parker. Like, we need to find, like, our Peter Parker. I was partially hoping that they would get someone from, like, the animated Into the Spider-Verse movie. Like when they first showed Tobey Maguire, just, like, what he was wearing. Because they walk in shadows, kind of. And so, like, it's not super obvious right away. Like, oh, my God, that's Andrew Garfield. Or, oh, my God, that's Tobey Maguire. And so, at first, I was like, is this Jake Johnson being, like, Peter Parker from the...
Peter Ben Parker.
Yeah, Peter A. Parker, Peter B. What? So, like, I was like, we're going to have, like, Nick Cage coming out here pretty soon.
Yeah. I did... I don't know if you know... The last scene of the movie is Spider-Man, like, his... Like, the... Him going at the camera kind of thing.
Yes.
Right? I thought, for a split second, I thought the last frame was Into the Spider-Verse animation. Did you catch that at all?
No, I did not.
I thought I saw that.
Hmm.
Maybe I'm a crazy person, but... And then...
Well, that's true regardless, but...
Thank you. I love you, too. last thing. This movie almost ends with a funeral.
Right? Ends no, I was saying about that.
Close to it. Because four of the first five Spider, Tobey Maguire, Garfield movies end with a funeral.
Yep.
This one almost does it. It ends with one of the last scenes, not the last one, but one of the last scenes is Peter at Aunt May's gravestone, and then Happy shows up, and so, like, Happy had still dated her, but just didn't know who Peter was. I was like, oh, how'd you know her? But it almost ended with a funeral, which I thought... was kind of, I don't know.
Yeah,
funny,
it's just,
I guess.
Like, really? We're in another cemetery. Like, Spider-Man just spends. If you want to know who Spider-Man is, just go to the local cemetery. Just you'll find him.
Sad, sad life.
And in the Spider-Verse, that's how the two Peter Parkers meet each other. They meet each other in a cemetery.
Yeah, it's true. You're
common,
right.
Common ground, common theme there.
Yeah, true.
So that's the show today. Make sure to follow us on social media at OscarRealPod on Twitter, on the Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening. If you're on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, leave us a review and a rating. Help us out. The more you listen, the more you review, the higher we climb in the charts. And it's almost nothing on your end. You just click that five-star, hopefully five-star button, and it helps us out immensely. Also, check out my YouTube channel. I've been posting, I'm going to post like snippets of reviews and stuff on there to check out too. So, yeah, from Matt and Haley, this has been the Oscar Real Movie Podcast.
A web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud, he's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, wealth and fame, he's ignored, action is his reward to him. Life is a great big bang-up, wherever there's a hang-up, you'll find a Spider-Man.